Our Bible reading is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort.
Should go quicker. You're running out of breath, whistling. Hi, my name's Lara. I'm one of the pastors here on team. It's the first time I've said that. Have you ever wished for a friend who truly comforted you in your toughest moments? I can think of several challenging circumstances in my life where I longed for someone to be there to support me and offer me real comfort. Not someone who tried to fix me or tell me what I needed to do, but someone who was genuinely present with me and wanted to listen. Today, as part of our Connecting Around Mental Health series, we'll explore what the Bible teaches about God as our source of compassion and comfort, why he comforts us, and how we can bring that comfort to others. Understanding how God cares for and comforts us is a key part in us growing in our ability to bring comfort to others. But before we jump in, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come together today as your people to hear from your word and to listen to what you want us to learn. Please speak through my words as together we meditate on you, our God of comfort. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all long for comfort, right? It's a deep and universal need we see everywhere around us. People search for it constantly because it's woven into who we are. But true comfort is not found in the temporary pleasures of life, which often fade or disappoint. Lasting comfort, the kind that brings peace beyond understanding, is found only in knowing God and in trusting in his character. Today we're looking at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7, where Paul describes God as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. These two words, compassion and comfort, give us a beautiful glimpse of who God is and how he relates to us. Read with me in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. From verse 3, we see God is described as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. These are two key characteristics of God, compassion and comfort. So what do they mean? Let's look first at compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer with. It's defined as genuine concern for suffering, for the suffering of others, and being motivated to enhance their well-being. It's more than noticing someone's pain. It's being moved in your heart and wanting to do something about it. In the Bible, compassion is deeply rooted in the character of God and is often expressed through his actions toward humanity. It's more than just a feeling of sympathy. It's an active expression of love, kindness, and mercy, especially toward those who are in need or who are suffering. There are many places in the Bible where God is described as compassionate. In Exodus 34:6, God reveals himself to Moses as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Our God is compassionate and gracious. In Psalm 103, verse 13, we read, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." This verse illustrates compassion like that of a father towards his children, a father who cares for his children in real and practical ways. And in Lamentations 3, we're reminded that God's compassions never fail. They are new every morning. God's compassion is constant, unchanging, and always available. And God's compassion is fully revealed and embodied in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was often moved with compassion, not just for physical needs, but for the deep spiritual brokenness of his people. His compassion always led to action, whether it was healing the sick, feeding the hungry, or offering forgiveness. And the greatest act of compassion was when Jesus died for us so that we might have life. Compassion is not just feeling sorry for someone. It's a powerful internal motivation to act in ways that show love and mercy. God's compassion is never passive. It always moves toward action. God delivers, forgives, heals, and saves. And as his children, we're called to reflect that same compassion, seeing the pain of others, being moved by it, and stepping in with love and mercy, just as he has done for us. Verse 3 also describes God as the God of all comfort. In fact, in this passage, we see the word comfort 9 times in the 5 verses. So clearly it's a key word. But what does it mean? The Bible speaks often about comfort, and it shows us that comfort is far more than mere sympathy. In the New Testament, 2 Greek words are frequently used to describe comfort. And I figured that now I'm a pastor, I should probably use some Greek words. So here we go. These are parakaleo, which means to come alongside and encourage. And then parakalesis, which means comfort or provide consolation. These words communicate the picture of someone called to come alongside another to strengthen, encourage, and support them. In John's Gospel, the Greek word parakletos is used as a title for the Holy Spirit and is translated as advocate, helper, counselor, or comforter. So taken together, these words remind us that biblical comfort is active, strong, and personal. It comes from God himself drawing near to us in our need. God comes alongside us in our need. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded that we are not alone in our struggles. God comforts his people through his presence, his promises, and his power. One of the most well-known passages is Psalm 23, where David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." And then in verse 4, we read, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here we see God as the shepherd who not only provides and guides, but also comforts and protects, even in the darkest valleys. In Exodus 3, when God meets Moses in the burning bush, he reveals his heart of compassion for his people and his desire to comfort them. Verses 7 and 8 say, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out, so I have come down to rescue them." God saw the misery of his people. He heard their cries, and he came alongside them to bring freedom and hope. Jesus himself in Matthew 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." This promise reminds us that even in grief, God comes alongside his people with strength, compassion, and hope. The ultimate expression of God's comfort is found in Jesus. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus entered fully into our human experience. He experienced pain, grief, loss, rejection, and injustice. He wept at the death of a friend, felt the pain of betrayal, and endured physical and emotional anguish. Because Jesus walked through suffering, his comfort is not distant or abstract. The comfort Jesus offers is real, empathetic, and powerful. And when Jesus returned to the Father, he didn't leave us alone. He promised the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus, our advocate, comforter, and helper. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." The Spirit is our constant companion, guiding, teaching, and comforting us throughout life. This is why Paul calls God the God of all comfort. His comfort is not shallow or sentimental, it is rooted in his character. He sees our suffering, even the hidden struggles of our heart. He sees our grief, our anxiety, our mental health struggles. His comfort flows from his inexhaustible love, and it's strong enough to bring hope, peace, and strength to every heart. When I was a young mum, I struggled for several years with what was later described as postnatal depression. There were days when I felt a deep sadness that made no sense. I remember thinking, I should be joyful. I have two beautiful children. I'm so blessed. Why do I feel so sad? I didn't want to tell anyone because I was afraid of being judged or told I was being silly. I tried to ignore it, but some days even making simple decisions like what am I going to wear was beyond my ability to manage. I would often curl up into a ball in the corner of my room and just cry. One of the things that got me through those years was my faith. The knowledge that God was always with me provided great comfort. I would cry out to him in prayer and would often hear him speak through Bible verses or worship music. This brought me the comfort of knowing the Holy Spirit was with me, giving me the strength I needed for those darker days. Throughout this series, we're focusing on mental health challenges. Not everyone struggles with depression or anxiety, and not all who struggle do so in the same way. But we all face challenges. We all experience suffering. We all have dark days or sad seasons. And we all long for comfort. Not temporary relief, but deep assurance that life has meaning and that we are not alone. Can you recall a time in the past when you clearly experience God coming alongside you and providing comfort? Where in your life right now do you need to experience God's comfort? I encourage you, next time you feel weary, anxious, or burdened, pause and intentionally invite God's Spirit to come alongside you. Pray something like, "Holy Spirit, be my comfort, my strength, and my guide in this moment." Let's continue looking in 2 Corinthians. Verse 4 tells us that God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We have the comfort we have received is not just for ourselves. God comforts us. He comes alongside us so that we can do the same for others. God's comfort is not only for our healing, it's also given to be shared with others. We're called to pass on the comfort we've received by coming alongside others in their suffering. As we receive comfort from God in our troubles, his comfort enables us to minister hope and healing to others in their troubles. We become an expression of God's comfort to others. Even if we haven't gone through the exact same trial, we can still share the same comfort that sustained us. Our suffering can serve a greater purpose in encouraging and strengthening those around us. In his sermon 2 weeks ago, Tim reminded us that our pain can have a purpose. And sometimes that purpose is to give us the ability to walk alongside others who are facing their own struggles and to do so with greater empathy. In verse 5 we read, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Paul is speaking here not as a philosopher, but as someone who has personally endured deep suffering and received God's sustaining comfort. Even in overwhelming trials, Paul found that as his suffering increased, so did his comfort through Christ. Trusting in God's character means trusting him through our suffering also. In verses 6 and 7 it says, "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." In other words, Paul is saying that our suffering can become a means of bringing comfort, endurance, and salvation to others. Our shared experience of suffering leads to shared comfort. Suffering, when met with God's comfort, binds believers together in empathy and mutual support. In essence, these verses are teaching that suffering is not an obstacle to faith, but an opportunity for believers to experience God's comfort and to extend that comfort to others. This shared experience strengthens our hope and deepens our understanding of God's work in our lives. We all know that suffering is inevitable in a broken world, but God doesn't waste our pain. Through Christ, who fully understands suffering, we receive not only comfort, but also the power to endure and help others endure too. Paul challenges us to trust God in our suffering, to test and experience his comfort, and to let that comfort be a testimony to the world. We have all had challenges we faced. We all have a story to share. If each one of us is open, honest, and vulnerable in sharing our journey, we can be a source of comfort and encouragement to others. Imagine the impact we could have in our families, our community, and in our world if we all shared the comfort we have received in knowing Jesus. So far, we've looked at God as our comforter and how we're called to offer that comfort to others. But what does it look like to offer God's comfort to others? I think it can be summed up in Romans 12, verse 15. "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." This verse is calling us to be present with others in their emotions, simply being with them, joining in their joy, their sorrow, their pain, whatever their circumstances, and not trying to fix them. As Joe encouraged us last week, it's about allowing people the space to come as they are, to come with all their emotions, and then to just sit with them in that space. I remember the day my brother-in-law had a cycling accident that resulted in a brain injury. He was placed in an induced coma and airlifted to the leading trauma hospital in Melbourne. I remember the intense compassion I felt for my sister and her kids in that moment and just wanting to be there to offer support and comfort. We booked me onto the first flight to Melbourne and I packed a bag not knowing how long I would be away. My presence with my sister was more comforting than any words of support I could offer. The fact that I would drop everything to come alongside her, to be a shoulder she could cry on, to stay with her for the next week meant so much to her. I was able to offer God's comfort to my sister by being present with her in her time of distress. This hasn't always been something that I've found easy to do, though. There have been many times when I've failed to offer real comfort to someone in distress. Have you ever encountered someone suffering and your immediate instinct was to try and fix the problem? Or worse, what you perceived the problem to be? While we might be feeling compassion for their sorrow or struggles, we often experience our own discomfort stemming from their sadness. We might try to dismiss their emotion or attempt to make it go away so that we no longer feel uncomfortable. However, Romans 12:15 invites us to empathise and share in the other person's emotions. In other words, to try and put yourself in the other person's position and understand the feelings and experiences they are having. This is straightforward when the emotion is joy, because we naturally gravitate towards celebrating happiness. But it becomes challenging when the emotions involved are sorrow, pain, depression, or anxiety. These can make us feel uncomfortable, and we can be unsure of how to appropriately respond. In the story of Job, after Job had suffered devastating loss, incredible pain and trauma, Job's friends came alongside him, and we read this in Job 2:13. They sat on the ground with him, and no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Job's friends came alongside him and just sat with him in his grief. And at first, they didn't say a word, because they recognised that their words could not take away his pain. Unfortunately, as we keep reading the story, we see that their silence didn't last, and Job's friends tried to explain away his circumstances. This is a trap I've fallen into many times in the past. In my desire to take away someone's pain or fix their situation, I've spoken words that did the opposite of bringing comfort. What I've learnt through my counselling training and the handful of years I've been in pastoral ministry is that one of the most effective ways we can offer comfort to others is by coming alongside them and listening to them share their story, share their pain, share their sorrow. Listening with the intention of hearing what they have to say. Listening without judgment. Listening not to respond with advice. As James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak." So many people struggling with anxiety or depression don't talk about what they're going through because they feel they will be judged or offered advice that isn't helpful. They feel like no one will understand, and this adds to their sorrow because they feel alone in their struggle. It makes them feel like they're not good enough, and in the case where they're a Christian, that their faith isn't strong enough. There is a time to offer advice. There is a time to suggest someone get help, and there is a place for words of comfort. But the first thing we should do for someone who's experiencing a mental health challenge is to come alongside them and listen. Come alongside them and mourn with those who mourn. Come alongside them and be quick to listen and slow to speak. Just sit with them in their pain, in their experience, and be truly present with them. By doing this, we are actually offering them the comfort we have received from God, because this is what He does for us. God comes alongside us in our struggles and offers His compassionate and comforting presence. Coming alongside someone and listening with empathy and without judgment is how we share God's comfort with others. Just this past week, on the 11th of September, was Are You OK Day. Are You OK Day is an Australian National Day of Action held annually to encourage people to check in on each other's mental health and well-being. It promotes the message that a simple question can save a life. The day reminds people to ask, "Are you okay?" and then be prepared to listen, support, and encourage them to seek professional help if needed. Research shows that this simple act is powerful in showing that you care. The Are You Okay website has some great resources to help you learn how to navigate asking this question, like what next if they tell you they're not doing okay. "Are you okay?" is a question we can be ready to ask any day, every day if needed. And then be ready and willing to listen without judgment, to come alongside and bring comfort, the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So we've seen today our God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. His compassion is not distant, but active, shown most clearly in Jesus Christ, who entered our suffering and now gives us his Spirit, the Comforter, to be with us always. His comfort is real, strong, and life-giving. God comes alongside us in our darkest valleys, bringing hope, peace, and strength. And he does this not only for our sake, but so that we in turn can extend that same compassion and comfort to others. We are comforted so we can comfort others. In a world aching with loneliness, anxiety, and grief, what a gift it is to offer not empty words, but the comfort of Christ himself. And sometimes the greatest gift we can give is simply to come alongside someone listening, mourning, rejoicing, just being present. And in doing so, we share the very comfort we ourselves have received from God. So today, as you go, I encourage you to ask yourself, where do you need to invite God's comfort into your life this week? And who around you needs to experience God's comfort through you? May we be people who not only know God's compassion and comfort, but also faithfully pass it on, so that our families, our church, and our community might be strengthened in hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Thank you for drawing near to us in our times of struggle and for giving us peace and strength through your Spirit. Lord, help us to receive your comfort deeply and then to share that same comfort with those around us who are hurting. Teach us to listen well, to sit with others in their pain, and to reflect your love with gentleness and grace. May our lives be a testimony of your compassion and comfort in a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name, amen.